Governor, are you there?
Hey, good morning, sir. Sure am. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it, and I want to start this morning by asking, how is the First Lady doing?
Thank you for asking me that. I really appreciate that. She is fighting a good fight and doing well. She's been overwhelmed with the number of people that have reached out, and just like your concern, we're not alone. There are a lot of folks going through a lot of struggles, but we are very grateful for the outreach and especially for the prayers for people that people have on our behalf asked for healing for Maria. So thanks for asking.
Yeah, I know that you guys were taken back by that news, and when I saw the post the day that it was made on social media, that it was unexpected. And so we have thoughts and prayers, and we do hope the best for all of you and for her. A good recovery, one with few complications. You just never know where the road goes when you start undergoing those kind of treatments. So we do wish you all the best. I want to address, as you know, the crime in we were just talking about this right before your phone call, and we've spent a lot of time on Memphis Morning News talking about the crime in Memphis and in Shelby County, West Tennessee. Crime happens everywhere. We're not immune to it. But for some reason, with the numbers that we continue to see in Shelby County and Memphis, there's no other way to put it, Governor. It's out of control. 400 robberies in Memphis up to September. 200 aggravated assault cases. 65 weapons offenses just in the month of September, according to city data. It's out of control. And the one thing that I would say, first of all, let me ask, how are we doing with the Tennessee Highway Patrol, the addition of the forces to Shelby County and specifically to the Memphis Metro Highway System? How is that looking?
That's something that we're working on even more. So originally, you know, we added 100 troopers to our budget this year, expanding the number of law enforcement officials in this state is a very important part of how we address this. Understaffing, I don't care what industry you're talking about, understaffing is a challenge, and it's particularly difficult in law enforcement, especially after the last couple of years where so many people in this country have disparaged law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So we put 100 new troopers on the budget. We will be preparing another budget this year that will even further expand the number of troopers. We had committed 20 of those 100 additional to Memphis. We're expanding that number already. We're going to, of the troopers that we are currently employing, we're finalizing the commitment, but it's going to be more like 35 troopers to Memphis instead of 20. We also, as you know, put $30 million in a recruitment fund to try and attract more law enforcement officers from around the country, including to Memphis. That's beginning to get some traction. So we're investing in boots on the ground, which is a key piece. There's a lot of other things to do, but that's one of the first.
Governor, do you think in your budgeting process, do you see the crime labs being underfunded and understaffed as well? We know that that's become front and center with the high profile case recently with Eliza Fletcher here that has exposed a underfunded, in my opinion, understaffed crime lab in one of the three in the state, but certainly in Jackson. They need more people. They need more resources.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I talked about staffing challenges just a minute ago, and that is true for scientists that are required in these labs. We made the largest investment to TBI last year in the state's history, specifically in part to address this problem. I mean, we saw it a couple of years ago and said we have to correct this. So we put $25 million or so in last year's budget to expand those positions, and they're being filled right now. We're working with TBI to figure out a way to actually improve that before the next budget cycle. So we do have a real challenge there. Across the country, that challenge exists. But I think, and you know, the TBI is an independent agency, so mm-hmm. we do fund them, but we're working with them now to say we need to have an enhanced strategy to get more To get more folks on the ground.
I understand you gave them, or the budget process allowed them, $25 million. They asked for $54 million. Why were they not given what they asked?
Yeah, well, in part because we've got to see that they can fill the positions with the money that we have. We don't just fund every department unless they prove they can find the personnel to fill those positions. And that's what, when I mentioned to you that we're talking to TBI right now, mm-hmm. we're asking them, how has that gone? How many have you hired? Gotcha. Have you been able to fill the positions that we funded? And if so, there may be a way that we can continue to add positions as fast as they can fill them. Because it's obviously the Eliza Fletcher problem is tragic. And she is not the only, right?
No.
We have a real problem. We got a real problem, and we need to aggressively address it.
Well, and that's the point that I think has to be made, is that it's that case that has exposed this to the general public. While those in lawmaker positions have known about this, and certainly those with TBI know about the shortage and the backlog, maybe it was the Eliza Fletcher case that opened this up to the general public that is now saying, whoa, this has been going on. Governor, I read a story yesterday, just real quick, and I want to get your take on this. The state of Washington, they had a backlog rape kit problem as well. And in 2019, their legislature passed a law that requires a 45-day turnaround on all kits. But how they were able to get additional money was the state received $5.3 million in grant money from the Department of Justice, and that helped beef up their labs and get them personnel and more equipment that they need to meet that. And do you see that as a possibility for the state of Tennessee and for our crime labs?
Actually, I think there's probably nothing off the table. We are looking at every opportunity. We're talking to other states. We're going to collaborate with them. You're right. This problem is a nationwide problem. It's not an excuse, and the TBI is not using that as an excuse. But we're looking at best practice to say, how can we solve this and not wait till next year's budget cycle, but do it now.
Yeah. I mean, you understand this. There's nothing worse than telling somebody who's a victim of a violent crime, we got the DNA, call us in a year.
Yeah.
I mean, what a
tragic situation. And this is a little sidebar, but I want to add something.
Sure.
We talk about crime, and we talk about crime in this country. We talk about crime in Memphis and crime in Tennessee, frankly. It's elevated. Violent crime is elevated around the country. We have an astonishing problem at the border in this country that has an enormous flow of illegal drug traffic that is pouring into America and directly into Tennessee. And it is connected to, and if if you want to know why the crime rate has skyrocketed in the last 2 years, take a look at the flow of illegal drugs from out of this country across our border into states like Tennessee, organized crime, gang activity. There is drugs behind all of these crimes.
Yes.
Or a vast majority of them. And I know that's not we've got to address Tennessee's crime problem on the ground in Tennessee, but I'm also, calling out to and talking with and collaborating with governors and leaders across this country and say, at some point, we have to stop the flow across this border. And it is time for this country to address that.
Oh, no, there's no question about it. Every state in this country is now a border state because of what's been going on at the border. And I agree with you. That is a key part of this puzzle. And Memphis, because of the distribution location of it, makes it really easy for a lot of this illegal activity to take place. And no, there's no question about it. And I get so frustrated, Governor, when this administration refuses to even speak the word fentanyl when addressing any kind of problems in this country, because that is an incredible problem. And it's war. These cartels have waged war on this country through now their newfound trafficking of fentanyl. They don't even need China anymore. They've got the formula to make it themselves and are sitting on the other side of the border, shipping it using drug mules. Some of them are kids. It's disgusting what's happening at the border, and it's getting into every community in this country. And I agree with you. That is a big problem that exacerbates everything from the streets of Memphis to Nashville to every community in this country. So I appreciate appreciate that you acknowledge that and speak to that as well as part of the problem. And we look forward to having another conversation with you, Governor Bill Lee, about this. And also, we'll get more into the education savings accounts next time we talk about that. Generally, how is that process going right now, if you have a minute to just tell us?
Yeah, you know, really, really encouraged. But long before I became governor, I've worked with inner city at-risk youth programs, and that's what really sparked my interest in opportunity for young people, especially those that have that live in the toughest neighborhoods in our communities. And I just have a belief that parents of those kids ought to have the same opportunity that other parents do. And, you know, we should allow parents to have choices about where their children go to school. No child is going to take an ESA program other than a parent wants them to. Mm-hmm. We're very encouraged. There are hundreds of applications in a very short period of time. Kids are enrolling in schools. We're talking about low-income children who were previously zoned to a poor-performing school, and they now have the opportunity to be in the school of their choice. And I'm very encouraged about that. I think it's finally time. 2 years, Memphians have been waiting for the opportunity to have their kids have that choice, and the time has come. So we're very encouraged with the process.
All right. Best of luck to you and to the First Lady. We again, thoughts and prayers as she continues through the recovery, and hopefully all will go well in that process, Governor. And we'll talk to you again real soon here on Memphis Morning News. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Ditch. See
appreciate
you
it. All right.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.